raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, cast iron skillets and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Okay, so it's not cast iron skillets in this classic song from Sound of Music, but rather bright copper kettles. But one of my favorite things, no question, is my cast iron skillet, cast iron pan. It's probably the best $25 I ever spent. Something I use pretty much every day. One of those things that you wonder why it took you so long to get and how you ever lived without it. It's a permanent fixture atop my stove top ever since I got one several years ago. Once it's seasoned, it's pretty much nonstick, and clean up is a breeze. I mean, it's a myth that you can't use a little dish soap and a sponge. The modern dish soap is mild enough, it won't strip out the seasoning. And the pan can withstand blistering hot temperatures. You can use it in the oven, in the grill, over an open fire if you wanted to. It spreads the heat out equally everywhere, retains it beautifully, sears and browns better than anything I've ever seen. And it does such a good job of cooking everything, so much better than its pan predecessors in my kitchen. And you can cook pretty much anything in them. Sear a tuna steak, make a curry, bake some German pancakes or pizza in the oven with it. And it's so dependable and basically indestructible. Although I try my best to destroy it from time to time. After I clean it, I return it right to the stovetop so it's ready to go for its next round, but it's always got a little bit of water left in the bottom of it, and I don't want to leave it just to air dry because of fear of rust, and I don't want to waste a paper towel on it. So I've gotten in the habit of just turning the gas stove on for 30 seconds or whatever, which is enough to heat up the pan so that it boils off the water or evaporates it out. But every once in a while, every couple of years, I'll get doing something else in those 30 seconds and I'll forget to shut the stove off, which means that the pan will just sit there on full flame and get super hot for an hour or two until I notice what I've done. And when it gets that hot, it basically heats the seasoning right off the pan and I have to re-season, which is no big deal, really. I don't even have to do that if you don't want to. You just clean off the stuff that's been baked ash and start using it again, and it'll season itself in no time. Anyway, this happened again just the other night, and it got me thinking of pans and pan idioms or pan proverbs, like out of the frying pan into the fire, and how here we had a case of forgetting to take the frying pan out of the fire. And so I thought pots and pans would be a good subject for another episode of Idiom America. So welcome, and let's get right to that idiom that's more of a proverb, out of the frying pan into the fire, which is used, of course, to describe moving from a bad situation to an even worse one, often as a result of trying to escape the bad situation. You quit one stressful job to get away from the stress, only to find the second job even more stressful. And this proverb and several similar European proverbs probably ultimately derive from an ancient Greek saying about running from the smoke of a fire and running into the flames themselves and getting scorched. But as far as the roots of getting the pan involved in this proverbial concept, people point to a fable from the 15th century by the Italian scholar Abstemius, who had a fable called The Fish and the Frying Pan. And it goes, some fish, still alive, were being cooked in hot oil in a frying pan. One of the fish said, "Let's get out of here, my brothers, in order to save our lives." Then the fish all leaped right out of the frying pan together, and they fell into the burning coals. Stricken by even greater pain as a result, they cursed the plan which they had followed, saying, "What a far more horrible death we are facing now." And Abstemius ends the fable by concluding that this fable warns us that when we are avoiding present dangers, we should not fall into even worse peril. I'm not so sure about the wisdom of these talking fish here. Burning coals doesn't seem much worse than being cooked in hot oil. But then again, I'm not a fish. But this idiom has been around in the English language for a long time. The earliest recorded use was by Thomas More in 1532. Experienced a surge of popularity in the 1980s for some reason, and nowadays you can better idiomize the proverb by just saying out of the frying pan and leave the fire part unsaid. There are more pans than just frying pans, though, or pans that you cook with. For example, you can pan for gold with a gold pan, or you can shoot a muzzle-loading gun that has a flash pan or a priming pan, which is a small receptacle that holds the priming gunpowder. And this flash pan is found next to the touch hole, which is the small opening at the rear of a barrel for a cannon or muzzle-loading gun that provides external access for an ignition spark into the chamber of the barrel where the main gunpowder charge is located. And the ignition of the main charge from the flash pan was not always guaranteed, however, and sometimes it failed. And in those cases, the spark would flash in the pan, but the gun would fail to fire. And this led by the end of the 17th century to the expression flash in the pan to mean a failure after a brief and showy start or a momentary sensation of no real importance. A lot of people have referred to cryptocurrency and the whole craze surrounding it as a flash in the pan. And speaking of digital gold, some people think that flash in the pan refers to the flash of gold in the pan when you strike it rich standing knee deep in some California creek in 1849. But all that glitters isn't gold, and so it could be just false hope, nothing but a flash in the pan. But this seems to be just one of those colorful, attractive coincidences where you have two plausible-sounding origin stories for the same idiom, and it's pretty clear the origin is the muzzle-loading guns and their flash pans that sometimes failed to ignite the main charge. Gold panning did give rise to a few idioms, though. Take to pan out, meaning to happen, end, or develop in a particular way. And it's most often used to mean to develop in a successful way, as in, well, if this current gig doesn't pan out, maybe I'll go north to Alaska, seek my fortune there. And this one came directly from when gold prospectors would use a shallow flat pan, that's called a wash pan, to wash dirt and gravel in a stream. And the pan has tiered rivets along the side so that the heavier gold particles would settle at the bottom while the lighter materials were simply washed away. And if you've ever panned for gold, it's strangely addicting. So is panning for fossilized shark's teeth. I did that a few times this summer at Shark's Tooth Beach at Westmoreland State Park in Virginia's Northern Neck. And it's a good mix of a peaceful, meditative, repetitive thing sprinkled with the anticipation of that eureka moment where you find one of those fossilized shark teeth. You can also pan out with the movie camera or pan in or pan over to. Where does that come from? What do pans have to do with cameras? Well, it turns out that pan in or pan out are kind of misnomers that actually refer to zooming in or zooming out, whereas panning over to or just panning means to swivel a video camera horizontally from a fixed position. So think of a panning shot that follows a running chicken or a car driving by. And so when you limit pan like this, it's easier to see where the word comes from, which is panorama, suggesting an expansive view that exceeds the gaze and forces the viewer to turn their head in order to take everything in. And that's why these panning shots are often used to establish location. These panning shots can also create tension. Think of panning slowly from one character to another instead of just a quick cut. What about a piece of cinema that's widely panned, as in criticized, disparaged, belittled? Where'd that usage come from? Well, it's a little unclear, and the best stab at identifying its origin I saw comes from an etymology online site that suggests that it arose in the early 1900s from the notion of being roasted or fried, as something would in a pan. Another one whose origin I was curious about is deadpan, which is most often used to describe humor, meaning a deliberate display of emotional neutrality, no emotion, commonly as a form of comedic delivery to contrast with the ridiculousness or absurdity of the subject matter. So the delivery is meant to be blunt, ironic, laconic, and apparently unintentional. And this term emerged right around the time that pan started to be able to mean criticize, and it started out as a compound word, sometimes spelled as two words or hyphenating, combining dead and pan. And pan was a slang term for the face back in the 1920s in America, I guess because of the similarity and shape to a frying pan, who knows. The Brits have down the pan, which means about the same as our down the toilet, used to describe something that's being wasted or lost, something that's degenerating rapidly. I've never heard that one used here, though. You do hear about things going to pot, though, which can mean something similar, to become worse or impaired, to get wrecked. And what kind of pot are we talking about here? I thought maybe this one referred to the chamber pot, that pot of refuse, the toilet, the pot of piss or get off the pot fame, or maybe even to marijuana and how it's slang for it is pot. But nope, this one refers to stew pots, as it turns out, and it surprised me with its ancient origin, as it goes back to at least the 1500s and probably earlier, as that's just the written record. And this idiom referred to old and useless animals that could no longer provide the family with milk or eggs, or couldn't breed or pull carts. And so they were only considered good to be slaughtered, cooked in a pot, and served on the dinner table. Kind of related one here, origin-wise, is pot shot, which can mean a shot that is fired carelessly or with little preparation. He's taking pot shots at neighborhood cats. But which is used now more widely to mean criticism, especially a critical remark that's made in such a random or sporadic way that it seems a little unfair. Not quite a cheap shot, but getting there. After being traded from his team, he continued to take pot shots at the coach. But in its original first meaning, the word refers to a shot that's taken from ambush or at a random or easy target, and that dates back to the mid-19th century, and you still hear it used in this sense. North Carolina urges its residents not to take pot shots at the Chinese spy balloon. And the term, when used to mean criticism, sniping from the sidelines, has its origin in the idea that casual shooting, taking an easy shot, is unbefitting a true sportsman, and it applies to a hunter whose hunting effort is just wholly pragmatic, just trying to kill something for the cooking pot. So a pot shot, then, is an easy shot that you take to kill something to bring home for the cooking pot. There's even the term pot hunter, or pot hunting, that refers to those hunters or fishermen who hunt or fish just for food, but not for sport. And these terms have been around a couple of hundred years, although you don't hear them as much as you used to. Well, there are quite a few more pot idioms to go, like pot calling the kettle black, which would bring this episode full circle to those bright copper kettles from Sound of Music. But there are enough pot idioms left that I think we'll deal with them in a part 2 on pot idioms. So that's it for now. Thanks for listening.